CliffCentral.com. Welcome to the Youth Leadership Platform with your host, Bongani Tau. Today we have the fabulous Kara Fru joining us in studio. And I don't go alone. Today I'm joined by my co-host, Sasha Lee.
Would you like Hi, everyone. Say?
And Kara, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thanks a lot for coming and hanging with us.
It's such a cool platform.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So kindly just introduce yourself briefly before we, I guess, get to the business of the day.
Okay, so I'm obviously South African. Well, not obviously, because you can't see. if you don't know who I am, you don't know, obviously. But I'm a South African-born singer-songwriter. I'm currently between South Africa and the States, working on my debut album. I'm signed to Sony Music.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, just a little bit of my history. I've released 3 singles to date. Both have reached number one on various stations. And well, I think one of my biggest collaborations has been with Black Coffee. I'll Find You, which was amazing.
I really love that song.
Yay, thank you so much. And so my life right now is just really working towards my debut album, recording, writing. And I've had an opportunity to do that in the States. And so that's what I'm doing. But I'm South African and all my stuff, all my music has passed through the Sony South Africa office. And we're getting a lot of inspiration from Africa. And so not forgetting my roots. Hmm.
Fantastic. So now, Kara, in terms of your upbringing in South Africa, can you go into a bit more detail about that? Where were you based in South Africa? Where did you go to school? Things like that. And one thing about South Africa that you absolutely adore and will never be able to forget, just off the top of your head.
Okay, so I grew up in Sandhurst.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I went to Kingsmere College. I really grew up in a loving family. I've got 2 older brothers, very protective of me, loving parents, very, very supportive of me. Mm-hmm. You know, when other parents may not think singing is the right path, my parents backed me all the way, you know.
So they gave you that support.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yes, exactly. Ever since I was a little girl, I just wanted to be a singer. Oh, I saw Britney Spears when I was 7 and that's it. You know, I wanted to be a singer and a horse rider. And so those were 2 dreams that my parents have really been very supportive of, and I'm really lucky. And one thing that I just love about South Africa is our diversity, our people, you know, we come from all walks of life, but we just together, you know, and we spend time together, we relate to each other, we love each other, well, most of the time, you know, other than these xenophobic attacks and et cetera, and the small cases of not very nice treatment, but, you know, generally, I feel like I'm just at home. I let, you know, the plane lands and I like cry. I can't wait to get back home and see my helper and see my best friends and see my riding coach and see my singing coach, see my parents, see my, you know, and everyone comes from completely different walks of life and everyone adds something to my life in such a substantial but different way. And I love that.
Lovely. Great. Okay, so moving on to how Kara Fru started out in terms of your music career. If I'm not mistaken, your journey did begin at the Songwriting School of Los Angeles.
So that was a little bit a step afterwards. But yes, my like professional career, because I've sung all throughout school.
Okay.
I was in the school choirs and like lead in school plays and things like that. And I wrote a little bit and recorded a little bit, but it wasn't something that was I don't think I had the time to take it 100% seriously. But after school, I got the opportunity to go to the States. And that's where I just thought, you know, I need to give it a lot more of my time if this is what I want to do. And so, I went to the Songwriting School of Los Angeles. And that's really where it started. And I've been really pursuing it full time since then.
And how was that experience?
It was so amazing.
How long were you there for?
It was like courses on and off.
Okay.
The courses range from like 1 month to like a 6 month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it depends what kind of songwriting course you took. It was really, really awesome because you get to meet people from all across the world, all walks of life, coming from completely different backgrounds and different experiences and also different ways of writing because everyone writes differently.
Uh-huh.
And I just learned so much.
Okay, fantastic.
Really learned so much. So it's awesome. So I love co-writing. From then, I'm like, oh no, I must co-write always.
Definitely. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So growing up, you mentioned to me that, or to us rather, that Britney Spears was one of those people that inspired you to get into music. Who were some of the others that you looked up to and idolized in the music space?
So yes, initially it was Britney Spears.
Okay.
I think, I mean, like any 7-year-old girl at that time, you know, I love Britney Spears. But then I actually moved a little bit more towards jazz. So I loved like Ella Fitzgerald and Eartha Kitt and Frank Sinatra. I used to love listening to them. Then obviously Christina Aguilera's vocals are just incredible.
She's on another level.
Yeah. So then I loved her. Then more recently, you know, obviously Adele and Amy Winehouse was a huge influence of mine.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like now I love Ellie Goulding, but I can also, I don't really have one favorite artist. I have specific elements of multiple artists that I love and are inspired
by. So you take something from each of them.
Exactly. Regardless of genre or style or age or anything, you know. So that's, I really like, you know, picking out specific elements of other artists that I try and implement in my own work or learn from. Yeah, that's what I love.
And then when did you decide in this journey that, you know what, I'm going to make music and I'm going to make making music my career?
So I have been juggling my life between singing and horse riding pretty professionally after since I left school. And that was 6 years ago, I think. Yes. And it was only after the last World Games that I thought, you know what, if I want singing to be my career, I need to actually do it 100%.
Yeah.
And so that was about 3 years, 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
So yeah, so and ever since then, I've really been pushing my singing. I've been writing as much as possible, collaborating with many people. Yeah, taking this opportunity to be in the States as much as I can. Just learning from the whole worldwide music industry, because there's so much talent out there, so much talent locally, but of course also internationally, and I can take what I've learned locally, internationally, and vice versa, you know. So yeah, it's been about like 2.5-3 years.
And so now, what's your source of inspiration? You look at Amy Winehouse, one of the people that you mentioned. We had a couple of music that she put out prior to Back to Black. A lot of things happened, drugs were involved, heartbreak was involved. And then she hit us with the hit album of the century, Back to Black, from the experiences that had happened. Some of the songs like Back to Black and Rehab, talking about things that were happening in her life. Where do you draw your inspiration in what you write?
So I don't have inspiration coming from drugs, but
thankfully,
but I still do draw inspiration from my own life. So it may be a little bit more subtle. But I do agree, like those heartbreaking, tough times are, you know, it's inspiration for flipping good songs. Yeah. I mean, Adele as well came out from like huge heartbreak and she won all those Grammys. And again, you know, she's brilliant, but, yeah, so I do reflect on what's happening in my life at the time and relationships I've been through and how I've felt. I also try and make them relatable and across the board, you know. So if someone is driving their car, they think, oh my gosh, I've been exactly in that space, you know. I also like to make music that's a little bit lighthearted, something fun, something that you can sing along to, just because I feel like life these days, you know, it's so serious. And there are things that so many people are dealing with. Actually, when they get in the car, they want to hear, I don't know, something just a little bit fun and something that they can just let go a little bit, you know. Yeah. That's why you watch TV. You don't come, you know, lots of people don't actually, like, you know, after they've watched a little bit of the news, they just want to switch it off and watch something that's a little bit less. Yeah, like a little TV series, something just to take their mind off. So that's what I'd like to do as well, just bring some fun into people's lives. Just uplift them. My brand is also quite an inspirational brand. So I'm always not trying to preach at all, but saying like, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to get involved? Or, you know, love yourself today, or smile at someone else because it's going to make their day, or just, you know, like little bits just of like inspiration. Also like fitness, keep your body healthy and you'll have a healthy mind. And so that's sort of my brand.
Holistic positivity. Yeah.
Positive, fun, uplifting, encouraging, empowering. So that's what I like to shine through in my music too.
Quite inspirational. I'm hoping that a lot of the young women that listen to the show actually will draw a lot from what you have spoken to us about and use it in their lives as well. Now, you look at Adele, one of the other artists that you've mentioned. There was a video that I watched on YouTube of Adele playing at some strange club, and you could see that she wasn't the Adele we know today. She was still paying her dues, singing, chasing pavements. What are some of the challenges that you've come across similar to, not necessarily similar to what Adele had to go through, but that have shaped you to the career that we know today?
It's been like a really long road, actually, because, you know, I think everyone thinks in every industry that you just arrive and you make it, you know, like, oh, I arrive in Hollywood and I'm going to be a star.
Nice.
Well, no, actually not, you know, literally the first time I went there was 6 years ago and I'm still not a star, you know what I'm saying? And that's fine because I'm doing the best music I can and I'm learning a lot and I'm growing a lot and I'm still... like, yeah, learning a hell of a lot. I still have to go to those club gigs at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm really feeling really tired and it's in some who knows where, you know? Or like the worst one was for me, I get really, really seasick. I got booked in Croatia to perform.
Wow.
Literally like 24 hours to get there. Okay, didn't sleep at all, can't sleep upright, didn't sleep at all, like no sleeping tablets, nothing, right? Wow. I was so tired.
Yeah.
It was a 3-hour drive to the venue. Then they're like, oh, no, we're doing a party. It's like on an island, but the island's like 2 hours away.
What?
Oh, no, like throwing up the whole way there. Then I had to perform. And then they made us wait until like 6 o'clock in the morning before we got the ferry back. Oh, no, guys, I was dying. So like little things like that. But you know what? I was thinking in the moment, this is the kind of thing that... first of all, if I want to be a singer, I need performance practice.
Yeah.
Like I've been booked to do a job, so and I'm not a quitter, so I've just got to do this. And I love what I do, so I'm feeling a hell of a sick right now, but I've just got to do it. You know, so little things like that. So often, yeah, my call time is 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, this is like the last thing I feel like doing. But it's the first thing I feel like doing too, you know. I'm like super tired, but I'm like, this is what I want to do.
The show is very, very taxing. So,
because it's all hours of the day. You know, people say, when do you have off? I'm like, I don't really have off.
Or if they ask me,
what's today? I'm like, I don't even know what the day is. And that sounds so bad, but I'm in studios Saturday, Sundays, or Wednesdays, or it's a Tuesday, or it's like 9 till, you know, 3, or it's like 5 till 12, or, it, you know, there's not a fixed time. And I'm constantly replying to my emails. I'm constantly looking for more performance opportunities, connecting with other artists. You know, there's a lot of work that you do in the back end that doesn't have a time frame.
So how do you cope with this? What are the coping mechanisms that you have in place to cope with all this emotional and psychological and otherwise taxing that the showbiz presents?
Well, my mum is a big help.
Okay.
Yeah, she does a lot
for me.
Shout out
to mom.
Yeah, she does a lot, lot for me. She really saves me, actually. She manages like all my day-to-day things. So if she's... also like pretty knowledgeable in the music business side of things, so she helps me with that and just like logistics and like booking my flights and like, you know, things that seem like inconsequential, but actually they're huge because it takes a lot of time to find the right flight at the right price and the right day. And then 2 hours later, I'm like, cool, but actually I've had an opportunity to perform here, so can we change the day? And then she's like, you know, it's a lot of time. And and yeah, I mean, social media takes up a lot of my time. So that's what I just have to plan like every morning, or if I'm in LA, it's every evening to get the right time in South Africa because we're 10 hours behind.
Oh, okay, yes.
So I just have to plan in terms of that. So timing wise, I just have to, yeah, really plan my time wisely. I also take a lot of vitamins. I take Calcivita because otherwise I do feel quite tired because I've got a very active life. You know, just running around, getting from A to B, interview to performance and et cetera, and rehearsing. I rehearse every single day for live shows, and I'm always adding new songs to my repertoire. So I'm either rehearsing my performance or I'm songwriting. So I'm doing something to add to my basket of skills, you know. So yeah, it's just really a lot about time management and knowing if I'm feeling super exhausted, I've just got to give myself a break. Although I was feeling really tired yesterday and I still sang, I was like, I've just got to get through this 2 hours, you know, because I feel like otherwise today I would have thought, you know, if you feel sick or if you feel tired, that's just like a passing moment in your life. So if you don't push through that,
then you won't,
you know, you're always going to be tired.
Yeah.
You know,
good way to
look at it. So it's just about that.
Yeah.
Also just about a mind thing. And also I'm vegan. So
Wow.
I have to make sure, like, especially when I'm traveling, I have to make sure that I pack the right food, because I can't just arrive at an airport in who knows where and think that I'm going to get vegan food,
yeah,
except for crisps, and I don't eat crisps. So I've got to make sure that I eat the right foods, and that also helps a lot.
What's your life mantra that you live by? Every single day you tell this to yourself to get yourself to get all that done.
You know, I know it sounds so cheesy and I should have another one, but it's honestly like, you know, I've got such big dreams and I just don't give up. Honestly, like I've got huge, huge goals in my life that I want to achieve, and I've got little sub goals,
yeah,
little like monthly goals that I need to achieve. Actually, even daily goals. I break it down even to daily goals, that things that I have to do every day to make sure I make my week's target and my month's target and my year's target. And I'm really hard on myself. So often I look back and I think, oh my gosh, I've done, like, I haven't achieved enough,
yeah,
you know? But then I've also sometimes got to give myself a break, and it's normally someone like my boyfriend or my mum who says, but Kar, just look where you've come from, you know, a year ago until today. It's like leaps and bounds, you know, so you've also got to then appreciate that. And then that's also really important to build on, because if I'm always so hard on myself, then I'm never going to get anywhere either.
Yeah.
You've also got to believe in yourself. So that's another one of my...
That balance, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a balance about like never giving up, but being also realistic, you know. You've got to be realistic about your dreams too. And you've got to say, oh my gosh, this is what I really want, love, you know, hope and pray that I'll achieve, but you've got to put that hard work in.
Yeah.
So it's like believing in yourself, it's working hard, it's never giving up and being realistic.
You've worked with some prominent people. Some of them include the likes of Lauren Christie and Andre Lindell.
Yes.
For those of our listeners that don't know who those people are, please introduce them, and who are some of the people that they've worked with before they worked with you?
Yeah, so it was really an incredible experience to work with Andre Lindell and Lauren Christie. They are the duo behind, like the songwriting duo behind Kelly Clarkson's Stronger.
Wow.
And she won a Grammy for that.
Close the front door.
No, so that was super cool. And Lauren Christie is, I mean, a brilliant songwriter and singer herself. And in her day, she was amazing. Andre Lindell also did Work Bitch for Britney Spears, produced that,
Yeah, yeah.
And songwrote. So that was awesome. So yeah, you know, the industry is also, it's so big. There's so many talents, but it's so small too. So I find like being in studio with, you know, those kind of people, that caliber of person, you learn so much. And you feel like your dream is attainable, but it's still a long way to go. You know, it's like quite a weird balance. Like, you know that you've got a lot to work on because you're learning so much, but you know, like, listen, I'm in the room with these guys. So maybe, like, it's not such a far-fetched dream after all. So it gives you, like, a little bit of inspiration and encouragement. And yeah, it's awesome.
Come Close to Me was very authentic and very genuine. And that was your first EP that you rolled out.
Yes.
Who are some of the people that you worked with to produce that art piece?
So Come Close to Me was also, again, I wrote and recorded it in Los Angeles. And this was honestly like one of my best experiences ever. I wrote, like, Lana Del Rey, I forgot to mention her, but
she is
one of my biggest influences. And at that time specifically, you know, my music is a little bit more like happy right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went through a stage where I thought, you know, I needed to like find that chill, be like cooler. But actually then I just realized, you know what, Britney Spears was my inspiration when I was 7, and I think I can't like get away from that.
Yeah.
But so Lana Del Rey was one of my biggest inspirations. And the guy who produced the album, the EP for me, is a guy called Daniel Heath, and he, I mean, produced Blue Jeans for Lana Del Rey.
What?
He did Young and Beautiful for Lana Del Rey.
No way.
Just among the few. He does a lot for her, in fact. And the co-writer that I wrote with is a guy called Stefan Skarbek. And he literally worked closely with Amy Winehouse until her death. So that was really a phenomenal experience.
So you had all of these major players on a platter for you,
And artists that had inspired me. You know? So that was really, that was a very big learning curve for me, which was awesome.
Now, from a South African musician that wants to make it big in America, being in Los Angeles, How do you even go about building relationships with such prominent people?
How do you do it, Cara?
You know what? I flip, hey? I hustle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got a few connections that I've made over the years. I've gone to like music events, South by Southwest, ADE, Amsterdam Dance Event. That's actually where I met Black Coffee.
Oh, okay.
And just subsequently, you know, you bump into people at those events and you see who the genuine people are and who the, you know, players are. And you sort of start building relationships from there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my boyfriend has done quite a lot in the music business industry, and he's also got quite a few contacts, and he's helped point me in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally about connecting with people that you know who can then connect you with other people, and then connect you with other, it's like a spider web.
Yes, yes.
You know, so the person that my boyfriend puts me in touch with may not be the right person, but he may know someone
that is
the right something person. For someone.
Yeah.
And like I said, although I mean Los Angeles is huge and the music industry is huge, you they're like 3 degrees of separation. You know, you can get to the people you want, and also with internet these days, you literally just tweet them.
You send literally emails, just do whatever you gotta do.
100%. I mean, like, also especially with our promoters bringing really big artists here to South Africa. So yes. We've got, you know, I mean, years ago, you know, Nicky Romero, we've got Skrillex, we've got, you know, and all those people. Then when you're here and you're in the game, you meet them too. So now when I'm overseas, I've got a friend, you know.
That you can contact.
So Skrillex and I, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have someone then that's so prominent in the industry. And then, yeah, I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? Or can you introduce me to this guy? Or can I actually meet your manager? Because he's more interesting to me, you know? And those are the kind of guys that I want to meet. It's also like the record labels. So Black Coffee signed to Ultra in the States. So Ultra is one of the labels under Sony Music.
Yes.
And he, when we did Ultra Music Festival, not even related to the label, in Miami last year, I then met his Ultra team. And then when I went back to LA, they said, cool, Car, I'd love to put you in sessions. And so then I met songwriters through Ultra. So it's all about connecting the dots. You know, so that's sort of how I've done it with whoever I can, you know.
And in the collaboration with you and Black Coffee on I'll Find You, how did that come about?
So I met him at a dance event. So at ADE, it's this music conference in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And every year they have a different focus, and that year was South Africa. So there was a panel, Black Coffee was on it, and yeah, I've been a huge fan of his. And so afterwards I thought, you know what, I'm just going to take my chance and introduce myself.
Just go for it.
Yeah, and he was just so humble and so open, and I just said, you know, I'm such a big fan, I'm Cara Frew, I'm from South Africa, and if you ever need a top line for one of your beats, I'd love to pitch for you.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, cool. But then he didn't reply to my email for like 9 months.
Yeah. Okay.
And I kept like tweeting him, but like subtly, not, you know, irritating me. Just saying like, hey, I love your track. Or hey, you know, like I said, if you're ever needing a vocalist, I'm like there.
You're there.
And then one day he sent me an email. He said, where are you? And I was like, I'm actually 2 hours from Paris. And he said, I've just landed in Paris. Come to Paris. Let's work on the track this weekend. I've got studio. I was like, what?
It just happened.
All that patience. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. After all that patience. And I literally like, because it's a very fine line between being irritating too pushy and being just like subtly there. So I was really trying hard to keep myself in the forefront of his mind, but still not be like so pushy, thinks I'm irritating and doesn't want to work with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that fine line. But yeah, that's sort of what happened. And then we didn't finish the track. And then he said, when are you back in South Africa? Then we, like 2 months later, I was back in South Africa. We finished the track. And then I just thought, you know, sometimes you just make tracks and it makes the cut or doesn't or whatever, you know, it was just cool. Oh my gosh, I had such an amazing experience. I learned a lot and it was great. And I loved the track and I thought it was like cool. And at that stage, I was in my very like Lana Del Rey inspired.
It
was quite chill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I still keep that like quite chilled vocal, even if I've got a beaty beat. But that's why I thought, you know, I need to bring this more beaty stuff in, because otherwise it's too chilled.
Too mellow.
Because that's just my voice is a little bit chilled. But yeah, so then he then like sent me a WhatsApp and he said, "Carl, what are you doing next weekend?" And I said, I was competing for the world, like training for the World Games. It was in 2 weeks, like literally from that day. It was in 2 weeks time, show jumping. And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, next week I've actually got a week off because the horses are traveling." He said, "Cool, can you meet me in Paris? We're shooting a music video. Wow. I want to release it as a single." I was like, "What?" Now, I still remember exactly where I was standing, you know, and I was with my mum and we were like having lunch and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, this is so, so cool." I didn't even know if I would make the cut for the album. Mm-hmm. Never mind like his first single off his album. So that was very, very cool.
Now, you're on the Youth Leadership Platform and we would be interviewing you, Amiss, if we did not ask for some leadership advice. You're a leader in the music space. What are some of your leadership thoughts to our young listeners out there? So think about yourself 5-6 years ago, before you got to where you are today. What would you say to your younger version?
I would definitely say that a life lived without passion is not a life, you know, so you've got to find something in your life that really drives you, that makes you want to get up in the morning, whatever that may be. You may want to be a chef. You may want to be a teacher. You may want to be a singer like myself. So find what drives you and then set out a plan, you know, set out goals for yourself and make them realistic. Like I said, make sure also you believe in yourself. Really believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
Yeah.
You can't expect anyone else to. Hmm. Not saying be cocky about it at all.
Yes.
Be humble about it, but have that like driving force that makes you motivated, that inspires you, and that then inspires other people, you know. So if you've got this, you know, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 2-year plan, 1-month plan, whatever it is, but have these goals. And then another very big thing for me is, like I said, that spider web effect. Connect with people in your community that can teach you, help you, point you in the right direction, give you support where you need it. So it's find your goal, connect with people in your community that will help you get to where you can go and inspire you and encourage you and connect you. And then once you've achieved your goal in 10 years time, in 5 years time, whatever the time may be, give back to your community. So it needs to be a full circle. Exactly. And always try and do things in an honorable way. So if you're going to get to the top and it's going to bulldoze someone else, don't do it. You know, it's not the right thing. It's not your right time. And you've got to really be still in that thought and remember that if you're going to achieve something and this is the right path for you, because everyone's got a path that's made out for them. I mean, I've done things in my life that I thought, oh my gosh, this is my path, come hell or high water.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for me. And I was devastated in that moment. But you know what? I now look back on it and I think if that would have happened, I wouldn't be where I am right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've now just signed some of my vocals to an international DJ and I'm performing at Coachella this year.
Wow.
So and if what I wanted to happen 2 years ago had happened, this would not have happened. And this is one of my biggest dreams, you know. So that sort of thing, that sort of driving force, you've just got to just believe in the process, work hard.
Yeah.
I know my thoughts are all over the place right now.
No, go for it.
But
go for
like it. Literally, you know, find out what inspires you, work hard, make it, you know, set out goals, make them be realistic, inspire others along the way, connect with people in your community that can help you get to where you want to go, and then give back to your community.
That is Kyra Fru, everybody. How do we follow the movement?
Thank you.
How do we follow what's going to come next? We know that we're expecting an album.
Yes.
And hopefully we can have you in studio for that as
well.
Yes,
we'd love
once,
that.
Once it comes out. But how do we follow what comes next?
So all my platforms are Kyra Fru.
Okay.
So CaraFrew. My website is just karafru.com, so you can literally get my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram on there, my YouTube.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, my Twitter's at Kyra Fru and my Instagram's Kyra Fru. Everything's Kyra Fru. So please tweet me. And I've got some really cool giveaways, some caps and some t-shirts.
Oh, nice.
So
that's
great.
If you tweet me, can't wait to connect.
Great. Sasha, last thoughts?
very happy to have interviewed such an inspirational young woman doing things and, you know, not just speaking, but actually doing. So all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. It was
Thanks
really
a lot for coming
awesome.
Through.
Thank
Thanks
you,
a lot for coming through. To our listeners, young listeners, you heard it first. Yeah, Kara Fru, everybody. She flew in from Los Angeles to be with us. So take what she has to say, put it in action, live for passion. We want to inspire the next Nina Simone, the next Lana Del Rey, exactly. The next Steve Jobs, the next...
Kara Fru.
Next Kara Fru. Yeah, yes. Yes, Sasha. So thanks a lot for tuning in and being part of the Youth Leadership Platform. From myself, Bongani, and from the team, Sashini, we will see you same time next week. That is 2:30 every single Monday, the Youth Leadership Platform. Bye.
Bye.
Let me tell you all my thoughts and talk for hours. Mind games, baby, this time you won't ever be over. I can't wait for your laughter, rolling round in bed. I just wait for this moment, counting days from the last cry, running round my Central.com.